This is the voice of Ring of Honor, Bobby Cruz, and you're listening to Interactive Wrestling Radio.
You're listening to Interactive Wrestling Radio, featuring the Interactive Interview, courtesy of WrestlingEpicenter.com.
Tis the season to be jolly indeed. Welcome to another edition of Interactive Wrestling Radio right here on WrestlingEpicenter.com. My name is James Walsh, and it is Wrestling Christmas time. It is WrestleMania season, and the least interested show I have coming up this coming weekend is WrestleMania, but there's two huge shows that are going to be happening in New Orleans that I can't wait to check out. Those are, of course, Impact Wrestling versus Lucha Underground as part of WrestleCon, and then, of course, the biggie of the weekend as well is going to be Ring of Honor Wrestling presenting Super Card of Honor, the biggest show in the history of Ring of Honor this coming weekend, and what a card we got. Cody to Omega, going to be one hell of a show. And on that show will be our guest this week, the ring announcer for Ring of Honor over the past multitude of years. In fact, this is his second time on this show. The first time was way back in 2007 as part of Three Count Wrestling with our old friend Chris Ferguson. By the way, Chris, if you're out there, give me a call, buddy. Check out Bobby Cruz. Really good interview with a really good guy. Like I said, we've had him on before, but this time it was different because now, you know, he's been there for so many years. He has become the voice of Ring of Honor. If you really like to know about what makes a company continue onwards, it's consistency at positions like the one that he possesses. And man, he does a great job with it. Hope everybody enjoys the interview. Check out this coming weekend's events, including, of course, the Impact and Lucha Underground event, the Ring of Honor event, and the big one, of course, the granddaddy of them all, as Mean Gene Okerlund used to say, WrestleMania. Enjoy the weekend, guys. Merry Wrestling Christmas.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund from World Wrestling Entertainment, reminding you, you're where it's at with the Interactive Interview, right here online.
The following sound clip is used with full permission from Frontiers Music SRL. It is L.A. Guns performing No Mercy off their new record, Made in Milan, live, available on CD and DVD. Available in the archives at WrestlingEpicenter.com. It's our interview with Gary Michael Capetta. I mean, Gary Michael Capetta.
So I'm trying to sleep, and I'm here. All of a sudden, I hear some rumbling in the hall. And what's going through my mind, and this is before Arn came out of the hall, what's going through my mind, the boys are playing. You know, I wish they could sleep. And then all of a sudden I heard some thumping. I heard some, and I put my light on in the room, and the pictures on the wall started to vibrate. And you know, like, ba-boom, ba-boom. And what was happening, as I come to find out, was that Sid had a chair, and he was hitting it against the wall.
Find it now at WrestlingEpicenter.com and InteractiveWrestlingRadio.com.
This is Ring of Honor's Ian Riccaboni, and you are in the Wrestling Epicenter.
Welcome back to Interactive Wrestling Radio. On the Newsmaker line with me right now is the voice of Ring of Honor, the one and only Bobby Cruz. Mr. Cruz, are you with us?
I am here, James. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's for those who have been listening for a long time, I always like to hearken back to our archives. And you've joined us before. It's been a long time. It was on a show called Three Count Wrestling way back in the day. And here we are now on the main show, Interactive Wrestling Radio, here at Wrestling Epicenter. So welcome back. So glad you agreed to do this with us. And in such an exciting time, not just because you're at your daughter's softball scrimmage, but also because Ring of Honor has a huge, huge event coming up, Supercard of Honor on April 7th. Thoughts going into the big, big event?
Yeah, it's just, you know, of my 14-plus years with Ring of Honor, it just seems like things just keep getting better and better and bigger and bigger. And to think that we are now, you know, a little over a week away from the biggest crowd in Ring of Honor's 16-plus year history is a pretty awesome thing to look at. And, you know, I think everything's firing on all cylinders right now. You know, attendance is up at live events. Pay-per-view is doing well. Now with our Honor Club rolling out and getting that going, the reaction's been really good. And it's a great value for customers. Not that I'm shilling it, but it's a great value for customers who decide to sign up for Honor Club. So, yeah, it's really an exciting time right now in Ring of Honor.
It is, and it's an exciting time for entire wrestling world, and you know, it speaks a lot that I think the stats were something along the lines of 200,000 people were in attendance at WrestleMania weekend a few years ago, and only 80,000 went to the actual WrestleMania event. So look at all the other interest there is for wrestling outside of just the WWE, and I think that really speaks a lot to Ring of Honor's reach as well.
Oh, absolutely, and it's been several years now that, you know, it seems like the entire professional wrestling world followed WrestleMania to wherever it has gone, and Ring of Honor certainly done it for several years, and I think was one of the first ones to do it. It was great business decision, and it's worked out well over the years. And, you know, and the hope is, you know, you have fans from all over the world coming in and centering them this year in New Orleans, of course, next year in New Jersey, and there's huge wrestling fans, obviously. They're coming from, you know, how many different countries and how many different states here, you know, maybe they're not as familiar with Ring of Honor, and, you know, that maybe they decide to check out Ring of Honor. And then I've heard so many stories of that over the years, just gaining new fans for the company, just by fans checking Ring of Honor out for the first time on WrestleMania weekend. So it really is at the epicenter, not to steal a line here, but you like that, huh?
Yes, I do.
It's obviously, you know, it's ground zero for pro wrestling for the entire week. You know, things started as early as Wednesday, I think, as far as activities and stuff and different conventions and different events. It seems like if you're a fairly major wrestling company in the country, you're running that weekend in wherever WrestleMania is. So it's definitely a big deal.
Absolutely. All right, so I'm going to ask you just a few questions about your early days, and then we'll talk more about the growth of Ring of Honor, because I definitely want to kind of pick your brain as to what's kept it chugging along, despite maybe some outside forces. How did you end up getting involved in wrestling in the first place? How did you end up becoming an announcer?
Well, I always, you know, like so many of us that are involved in wrestling or, you know, the cover wrestling like yourself, you know, a fan, obviously, as a young kid. I used to watch it every Saturday morning. But I was always really, as I got a little older, my teenage years, I was into the production and the music. And, you know, my favorite superstar was Howard Finkel. You know, most people, it was, you know, Hogan or the Warrior or someone like that. And, you know, I was just really into that. I'm like, that's something I really like to try. So fast forward to my senior year in high school. Baseball was really my thing. I was one of the two captains we had my senior year. And but I played basketball, but I would come off the bench, you know, for 5 or 10 minutes and throw up a couple threes and hope they went in. But one of my English teachers, who I was fairly close with, he was a girls' basketball coach at school, and he knew of my interest in trying to be like a public address announcer, and they had their announcer had retired. So he said, you know what, if you decide not to play basketball, why don't you give, you know, being a public address announcer a shot or whatever? And I gave it a little thought, and I decided, yeah, why not? Instead of, you know, doing that commitment of basketball and all the practices and stuff where I, you know, they certainly weren't going to miss me. I decided to do the PA announcing. So I did that for a couple of years and mixed in some play-by-play for like the local cable access also. And then I think it was early 94, I sent out a bunch of letters to, you know, New England independent companies near me about interest in it. And there was one about 20 minutes from me who was looking for a ring announcer, ironically enough. And they were running an event that next weekend. So they called me, and
went did a tryout, and that was the start of my ring announcing career in the spring of 1994.
Not to get political, but I remember it stuck with me in my mind that an episode of Rush Limbaugh's show, he was talking about how he had to develop a loss of his accent. He had to be kind of just Mr. America on his accent. Obviously, you're from Boston. It definitely shines through when you're speaking, but when you're calling the matches, when you're announcing guys, you really don't hear it as much. Was that something that you consciously worked on?
Not consciously, but I think subconsciously it just kind of happened. So many people have said that to me, whether it's, meeting, other talent for the first time or meeting fans or whatever. They've heard me announce and then they hear me talking. They're like, oh, you had that, that Boston accent. I just think it's the way that I use my voice with the announcing. It kind of just disappears. I've never, in all my years of doing it, I've never said, oh, I can't announce with that accent or whatever. It's never even come up in my mind. So I just think with the different, an announcing voice is somewhat different than a regular speaking voice like it is right now. I think it just automatically disappears. So I'm probably lucky in that respect.
Kind of like singers, I guess. Kind of like Elton John doesn't necessarily sound English when he's singing.
Right, exactly. You hear other singers. That's a great example. It just kind of, he's probably really never thought of it. It just kind of disappears.
There you go. Excellent. All right, so your debut with Ring of Honor was as Steve Corino's personal ring announcer. How did you know Steve prior to that? I think we had talked to you previously about PWF.
Yes. Yeah, That first company I talked about that I started announcing for in 94, we got into the late 90s, I took over the booking of that promotion. And right around the time ECW was folding, we would have what we call bot shows where we bring in different named talent on top of the cards. And we were looking to bring in a couple different people. And as ECW was going down, I came across Steve's name somewhere online. And I said, oh, that's someone different. That's someone who's not been on the indies or on New England or anything like that. So I reached out to him, and he came in for an event. And I actually was not only booking it, but I was still ring announcing it. And he pulled me aside after, and he said, I really liked your announcing. I have the PWF down in Pennsylvania that we run on Sundays. I'd like to have you come down and start announcing for us down there. So that was really my first announcing outside of England. So basically from 94 to, say, 2000, 2001, I did every state in New England, but it was all relegated to New England. I'd never done anything outside. So that was my first time out of New England, which was exciting, definitely, at the time to get out a little bit and get a little more exposure. I was doing half the shows with the announcer that they had, and then they decided to go with me doing the whole shows and made him like an interviewer type guy. That was the first time I had met Steve, and thank God I did, because I said for years, Steve Corino and Kerry Silkin have been the two people who helped my announcing career the most by far. And he's become a great friend over the years too. So, asking about Ring of Honor, fast forwarding to that, he caught him in the old AOLIM. He caught me on that one night. And, he said, something like, he was going to return to Ring of Honor to feud with Homicide. He had the idea to have his own personal ring announcer, and he wanted me to do it. So he kind of ran the idea past me, told me what it would entail, and I was like, wow, this is awesome, because, you're a ring announcer. You're just the straight ring announcer, serious. You're not really involved or whatever. But this is something different where I could just be pretty much an ass in the building for whatever time I'm announcing him, and I'm the one holding the microphone, so they have to listen to me. So those were an absolute blast. I love those, and I was so happy when Ring of Honor released his best of, or worst of, I guess they call it, the worst of Steve Corino DVD, that those intros were on those on the DVD set, because those were a lot of fun.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a couple other announcers before you for Ring of Honor, one of which was even Gary Michael Capetta of WWF and WCW fame, correct?
Yeah, I don't know if he ever ring announced for them. I think he was, I know he was an interviewer, back when Ring of Honor was in infancy and was a kind of the underground DVD company. I know, he had done like backstage interviews with talent and different things and promos or whatever. I don't think he actually ever ring announced for Ring of Honor, but I could be mistaken.
There you go. But you ended up, you said that Fink was your hero.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I guess I can hear that. I'm just kind of thinking of it in my mind. I can hear that.
Yeah, he was, I mean, he was awesome. I mean, he's still the greatest wrestling ring announcer there ever, you know, and he was, it's been a thrill to get to know him, too, over the past several years, a little bit. And a few years ago, he and I were on the phone for an hour together, or an hour and a half, just talking about different stuff one day. And then a few years ago, I was being inducted into the New England Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. They had a ceremony at the Convention Center in Providence. There was a convention with it and everything. So we talked a little bit there, too. But he actually, he was the MC, one of the two MCs of the event. And Carino was, yeah, Carino was inducting me, but Howard had to introduce Steve to induct me, basically. And Howard actually took a couple of minutes and said that he was a fan of my work, and he was, I think he called me a credit to the ringing announcing industry or something. I mean, it was almost like a blessing from the ring announcing God. So that was really cool.
Excellent. And you've done some other things where you've been approached, shall we say, by other wrestlers. Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson comes to mind. Any memories of those promos where you basically had to say some horrible things at the behest of one Bryan Danielson?
Yeah. Bryan Danielson used to get in my ear all the time. And the thing with Danielson was, too, I really never knew what was coming. It's basically, if he would hit me with, you know, three lines of things I had to say, it was on the spot. There was no preparation before or anything like that. So that would get a little scary sometimes. But he was funny. From something as simple as you tell them that I'm the best wrestler in the world to something, you know, just wacky and funny, you know, it was like a house show or something. There's been so many times over the years where different things have happened or things I've had to say. It's definitely been entertaining.
Excellent. Are you a fan of Bryan Danielson getting back in the ring?
Absolutely. If it's good for him, I was thinking about this earlier today, actually, when, you know, the announcement was made last week, and I, of course, read it online. I saw a quote or a tweet from a good pal of mine, Adam Pearce, who I love to death. And he basically, you know, congratulated Bryan and then said, you know, you can teach wrist lock and something, but you can't teach passion. And that's true. I mean, you either have it or you don't, or you develop it or you don't, no matter what it is. Excuse me. But he has it. I mean, pro wrestling and wrestling in the ring is Bryan's passion and love. And he's got to be thrilled. He's sleeping at night. He's got to be so happy that he's able to get back in there and do what he does best.
Excellent, excellent. I told you we would harken back to the growth of Ring of Honor, and we will in just a moment. Just a random question that came to mind, and I can't find any evidence of this, but I distinctly remember there was a story about, I don't know, maybe 3 years ago, two, 3 years ago, that you were parting ways with Ring of Honor and you were going to be taking independent bookings. That never seemed to happen. What was the story behind that?
I don't know if I remember that story. I remember the story that I was going to TNA. I remember maybe a couple of years even before that, I got a text from another guy I've been made friends over the years, was Dave Lagana, who was working at that time with TNA, and he said, "Hey, have you seen this?" And it was some website wrote that I was in New York City, excuse me, visiting with TNA, and I was unhappy with Ring of Honor because they weren't using me on all the events and blah 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 whatever. And it's Mickey Carter. I met with John Gaborik, and it was. The point of the story was just way off. I mean, I was in New York City. I happened to be in New York City that same day. They were taping TV at the Manhattan Center with my older daughter, Sarah, because I'm going to Billy Joel at Madison that night. So when I saw that TNA was in town, I reached out to Lagana and I said, "Hey, you know, if these guys are around, can I come by in the afternoon for like a half hour just to visit, you know, not only him, but these guys I'd known for years, Kenny King and Samoa Joe and Velvet Sky, just to drop in and say hi." It was literally like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And, you know, I never met with anybody about a job or never discussed it. I still to this day haven't met John Gaborik. There was a week or two later, he sent me that and I read it. And I'm like, "Oh, this is ridiculous." I'm like, how, you know, and of course, you know, Ring of Honor is going to see it. So I said, it must have been a really, really, really slow days and slow news day in pro wrestling when you're talking about a ring announcer changing companies. But that I remember. I don't remember taking the indie booking. I mean, I know I put something out that I was available to, but I still I'm dying. I still am able to take bookings like right now. That's not, my contract isn't exclusive to the point I can't take other bookings. I just can't do anything that is shot for TV or live streamed or anything like that. But as far as, there's an indie company like the one I mentioned earlier today that I started with in 94 a few months ago. Their ring announcer had a problem the day before or something like that. It's literally 15 minutes from my house. So they reached out to me, hey, can you come by tomorrow? And just, you know, to hang out with old friends for a couple hours, I went and did it, and I didn't have to get Ring of Honor's permission or anything like that. So I can do bookings. I just can't have it shown on TV or live streamed.
So I've compared the growth of Ring of Honor over the past couple of years to the growth of MMA, of UFC. Basically, it's the same product, the same style of product, may be made a little bit more commercial, a little bit more accessible to the mainstream fan, and as such, it's growing exponentially. Would you agree that Ring of Honor has maybe opened its arms and tried to welcome a few more of the more mainstream wrestling community into the product?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's accurate. I think that's fair. And that's a good thing, you know, because obviously the mainstream is WWE fans. And you have fans that are pro wrestling fans, and they watch WWE, but they also watch Ring of Honor and New Japan and you know, whether it's local indies or whatever. And then you just have other fans who strictly watch WWE. So, you know, bringing people such as, you know, Cody, Bully Ray, the Hardys last year for that feud with the Young Bucks, that right. kind of stuff.
Almost
I think
a year ago to the day.
Yeah. I think that stuff has been great for Ring of Honor. And like I said, the more eyes that are on our product, obviously, the better. And because I think once people watch it, if they're into wrestling, then they're going to be hooked and they're going to like it and they're going to check it out more. So, that's always the key. It's the key in basically, you know, whether you're selling a new soda or whatever, you know, if you believe in it and you think it's good, you need people to try it, then they'll buy more of it. It's kind of the same thing with Ring of Honor. We need those eyes on us, and then we get them hooked.
Absolutely. And I've been, kind of off the cuff comment. I've just been excited that they've started to allow the Women of Honor to appear on the main TV show as well. It's not just relegated to just the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been last year, and of course the start of this year, with what WWE is doing and what we're doing, not only with the Women of Honor, but also with our working agreement with Stardom in Japan. It's great to be a women's wrestler right now. You know, they're not, they're viewed the way they should be. They're viewed as athletes, which they are, and not so much as the stuff that was going on when, you know, it was the late 90s or whatever, they're wearing string bikinis and stuff. So I'm very happy with the progression of Women of Honor. I agree with you. I think they should be on TV. I think they should be on pay-per-view. And you know, we've had some great athletes come through Ring of Honor in the Women of Honor. Some of them, you know, the core group, Mandy Leon and Kelly Klein and Deonna Purrazzo, and then you have other ones like Madison Rain and so forth that have come in. It really looked good, too. So, I just think the Women of Honor will continue to grow even more.
One of the things that always makes a Ring of Honor show a little bit different than other shows is the audience. The audience is a very much a part of the show, including the entrances. Between adding interjections, like adding theme song parts, like they do with Marty Scurll's theme song, and so on and so forth. Anything stick out in your mind as the funniest thing that the audience has interjected, especially in the entrances of a wrestler?
Oh, God. Wow, that's tough. We've got a lot of time. I don't know. It's funny, right? You want something funny. I don't know. I mean, there's been so many chants over the years that have made me laugh. I mean, there's been so many other things that not necessarily funny, but just like really cool. Like I remember, you know, CM Punk's old theme, you know, banging on the guardrails, because that's been a trademark of Ring of Honor, you know, fans for years, banging on guardrails. They would bang and beat with his song. I laughed a couple of weeks ago where we had our 60th anniversary pay-per-view in Vegas, and I happened to be standing in at the wrong place, and Jay Lethal just, you know, happened to accidentally tackle me, and I happened to be laying on the ground, and as I'm laying there, I could hear the fans chanting, you killed Bobby, you killed Bobby. I thought that was pretty funny. But as far as like specific stuff, no, I mean they get into it. I mean, there's no doubt. As you well know, they get into the stuff. They love Marty Skrull's entrance right now. Currently, that's one of the biggest things going. And who wouldn't? I mean, that thing's awesome. I wasn't even really familiar with Marty, and the first time I ever saw him and saw that entrance was during the UK tour last year in Liverpool, I think it was. It was the first time I'd seen it, and I was blown away. So actually, it was the year before. I'm sorry. It was like November of the year before. But, you know, he's, you know, the Bullet Club stuff, obviously, the reaction that the Young Bucks get, it's a special, special atmosphere. And if people haven't seen it, then I certainly suggest that they check it out because it's really cool.
Absolutely. So we do a lot of stuff with Impact Wrestling, and something that a lot of the guys we talk to always say is that they would love to see Impact forge a relationship with Ring of Honor because they feel like it's WWE versus the world. I asked this of Matt Taven a few weeks ago, but how do you feel about that? Is that kind of like your guys' view as well?
A working relationship with Impact right now?
Well, yeah. More so, is it WWE against everybody else?
I mean, I guess it's easy to say that, I guess, because they are number one. And there is, I mean, I consider us the number two company in the country, and people sometimes argue with me about that, and I don't know where the argument is these days. But, you know, there is a big gap between one and two. I mean, they are a mega, just a mainstream mega company. I mean, they have guys, you know, hosting the Today Show and on Sports Center and, you know, and movies and all this other stuff. So I guess it's easy to say, yes, WWE versus the world. To the way I look at it is, you know, especially Ring of Honor for years, we've just done our own thing. You know, obviously talent has come and gone over the years. Owners now have changed. Bookers have changed. A lot of things have changed, but one thing that hasn't changed is the quality of the product inside the ring. That's always been what we've excelled at and always, I think, been the best at, and I think that continues to this day. So I think we just, you know, try and do our own thing. We have, you know, our niche, and we're really good at it, and we do that. And, you know, there's been so many things over the years, that, especially the past couple of years, that we've really improved on as far as in-arena production with our video screens and stuff like that, our TV and pay-per-view production with the graphics and video packages, which now I think are awesome. You know, yeah, so we've really stepped up our thing. And that's, I don't think, you know, we as a company, not that I'm in the office and I want to speak for them, but I don't think, you know, anyone's saying, oh, you know, WWE's doing this, we got to do this in, you know, the counter or anything like that. I think it's just two separate things. You know, and I've even read, you know, comments from people on their side in management saying, you know, let Ring of Honor do their own thing. They're doing great. You know, we've got our own thing, and both companies are doing well. You know, there's no competition per se that we're trying to, you know, compete with them, match them, or anything like that. We're just trying to put out the best product we can each and every event. And I think we pretty much do.
Oh, boy. Very cool. Yeah, my next question was going to be that Matt Taven had basically said that WWE is trying to put Ring of Honor out of business, and I was going to ask you about that, but I think he kind of covered it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I can follow up on that too. I don't think that's the case. I really don't. And I actually, you know, had a conversation with a friend that works for WWE probably a year or two ago, kind of about that subject, not exactly in those words. And you know, his response was, you know, no, they're not looking to do that. You know, there's going to be talent they're interested in. Like they just, you know, grab War Machine or Cole and O'Reilly and Fish or whatever, you know, Roddy before that and stuff. And there's certainly guys that are going to go there. And they're going to go after the guys that they want or guys that they think they can utilize the best. But as far as trying to put a company out, I've never heard those words from anyone I've talked to in either company.
All right, very cool. So we'll wrap up talking about the same thing we came in talking about, Supercard of Honor. We're literally just over a week away from it. Any particular match in particular stands out to you that you're looking forward to the most?
Yeah, I was, you know, scrolling through New Japan's event that aired live Sunday night, and I, you know, this whole Cody and Kenny thing is just, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where it's going, but it's certainly heated, and it's going to explode. Just that to me, is really just an interesting, really interesting dynamic as to what, you know, what that whole thing and what the fallout's going to be as far as Bullet Club and New Japan and Ring of Honor. So really interested in that. Obviously, Mighty Skrull on our TV has been complaining for months and months that he's never had a Ring of Honor world title shot. So him having that title shot in New Orleans against Dalton Castle is really, really a big deal. And talk about two of the best entrances in all of pro wrestling. That one's going to be the entrances, I think. The match will be great, but the entrances would be awesome too. So I think those two. And then you got Ibushi. You know, Ibushi and Paige. Paige is on an absolute tear. Looked awesome again, you know, with New Japan this past Sunday night in California. So that's another one. I think those three really stick out to me. But, I mean, it's almost unfair because, you know, you've got the six-man ladder match with SoCal Uncensored against the Bucks and Flip Gordon, which is going to be all over the place wild. So it's going to be obviously, you know, the biggest crowd in Ring of Honor history that night in New Orleans is going to witness one of the biggest, one of the best Ring of Honor events in the 16-year history. I'm confident in saying that.
Excellent. Well, we're looking forward to it as well, and we will be watching. So I wish you guys the best of luck. Before I let you go, can I just ask for one last favor from you?
Go for it.
You know what's coming. It's going to be, can I get a station ID just saying this is Bobby Cruz and you're listening to Interactive Wrestling Radio?
I can remember that. See, that Danielson used to give me harder lines than that on the fly. That would be easy. All right. You want it right now?
Sure. Yes, sir. You want me to count you down like Wayne's World style here?
Sure.
All right. We'll do it in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is the voice of Ring of Honor, Bobby Cruz, and you're listening to Interactive Wrestling Radio. Did I say
awesome.
It in the right order?
Thank you. Okay. You got it in the right order. You got
all
it
right,
in the right order. I appreciate it, man. I'll let you enjoy the baseball game, softball game. I didn't mean to take you away from it,
yeah,
but I hope you have fun.
Up,
and
she's up right now, so good timing.
All right. Go cheer for her. Thank you again for your time. I appreciate it.
All right, pal. Thank you.
This is the Wrestling Epicenter. For over 15 years, we've brought you the top names in professional wrestling for exclusive interviews. Everybody you see here has been interviewed by our site. But we're more than just interviews. So be sure and check out WrestlingEpicenter.com for news, results, information, and of course our store. WrestlingEpicenter.com, your number one source for wrestling information.